bit pingy there. As we celebrate Māori Language Week, I thought it would just be a cool opportunity to just learn one more word. So the challenge is that this week, in the morning, not in the afternoon, because that's not going to make sense, to greet somebody with Ata Maria this week, if you can remember that. Awesome. If you don't know me, my name is Dave, and I'm one of the associate pastors here at City Bible Church, and it's my honour to be speaking this morning. This year, we have been talking a lot about love, and the amazing thing with this topic, with this idea of love, is that the more you talk about it, the bigger it gets, and especially when it comes to this idea of God's love, something that we can never get to the bottom of. God personifies himself as love. He says that in 1 John 4, that God is love. And it's this idea that with God being eternal, without beginning and without end, if he personifies himself as love, we are never going to get to the end of his love. And so, it might seem like, man, a whole year on God's love, that seems like a really long time. Man, we're going to be spending forever exploring the depths and the heights and the breadths of God's love, as Paul says in Romans. That we and I love how he's praying for the church in Romans. He says, "I pray that you would just know how big God's love is. It's deeper than you know. It's higher than you know. It's wider than you know. It's all encompassing. It is eternal, and we're never going to get to the bottom of it." This year, we started out by talking about this idea that we are greatly loved by God. And this idea that came from that was living loved by God. That there is nothing that we can do to earn more of God's love. That he is love and he loves his creation. We just need to accept it. And that we can daily be in this posture of living loved, accepting God's love for us. We have also been talking about our love for God in way of expression. And so we have talked about things like the sacred pathways, this idea that God has made us all uniquely in his image, as image bearers of who he is, to connect to him in a certain way and to express our love to him through that. But we've also been looking at living a life of yes to God, a life of obedience, because Jesus says, "Those who love me will obey my commands." And so it's not just this idea of, like, we get to express our love to God through singing or through, like, running through nature and giving thanks to God for what he's created, or sitting in silence and in solitude, or, like, whatever it is around the sacred pathways, but it's that it is a life of obedience. That we follow our amazing Savior, that we give our life to him because he first gave his life for us. It is a life of yes to God. We're carrying on this conversation and moving into God's call to love one another. So this isn't the next step. The thing with God's love is it's really dangerous to think of it like steps. You know, God loves me and I love God and he calls me to love others or one another and to love those who don't know him. In our Western linear thinking, we can so often think it's like, do these steps and we will know more of God. But it's not. When it comes to the love of God, it is a holistic, very non-linear thing. It can be one day living in God's love to the next day living out God's love. We are moving into God's call to love one another and all of the other one another's that come along with that. Love one another is like this grand command, this great command. And then kind of under that, we read throughout Scripture and the New Testament especially, this forgiving one another, this bearing one another's burden, this speaking the truth in love to one another. There's so many one another's, but overarching all of that is in love. It's not like forgive one another because you're told to. It's forgive because you have been greatly forgiven and you are greatly loved. And when you live loved and you sit in that place and you accept that, man, you can give that. It's dangerous, however, to talk about the one another's outside of the context that they were designed to function within. Because as humans, they can become very quickly a list of things we feel that we need to produce. Oh, okay. I love God, and so now I need to love other people. I love God, and so now, or God loves me, and so now I need to forgive, or, you know, like so on and so forth. To separate them, again, kind of what I was saying just before, to take them outside of the context that they were intended to be in the presence of love and living loved, it can become a very dangerous, legalistic, list-orientated thing. Like all of God's commands, though, they were designed. Now get this: all of God's commands were designed to draw us into deeper intimacy with Him, and to experience His joy. So often we can think of a command as something that I should do, or the alternative, what I shouldn't do. But that's not the heart of God's commands. They were always intended and designed that they would draw us into greater intimacy with Him so that we could experience His joy. Because when we obey His commands, when we live according to His plan and His intention and His purpose, we will experience Him in ways that we have never known. The context of the one another's is community. The context of the one another's is community. Or more accurately put, it is God's community. To practice the one another's, we need to be with one another. Let that sink in. To practice the one another's, we need to be with one another. That might seem like overly simplistic, but I challenge you to practice the one another's without, like, gathering with other people. It's just, yet somehow we place this pressure on us that, oh, I need to love more, I need to forgive more, I need to bear more, one another's burdens more, I need to, next thing, after the next thing, after the next thing. But when you bring it into the context of God's community, and as God's community loves one another, and as God's community forgives one another, and as God's community bears one another's burdens, all of a sudden it's not me doing a whole lot of stuff. It's the church being built up. It is God's community being built up. Community is something that we all desire. To be part of a group, to not be alone, to belong. This is so evident through the social media movement, which enables people to be connected 24/7, or at least to have the sensation that they are connected. It's really easy to feel connected. Look at how many friends I have. Look how many followers I have. But I have to ask myself this question: when is the last time that I have sat with somebody and, like, shared a meal and gone heart to heart? That is connection. That's not the sense, or it's not a sensation of connection. It is true connection, and that is in the context of community. This desire, this yearning, has always existed because it is God-given. God's plan was that humanity would live in whole community. That's really important to understand. Whole community, and I'll unpack that a little bit, with Himself and with those around them. This is made really clear from the beginning. Guess where I'm going? It's a book of the Bible. It has something to do with the beginning. Genesis, awesome, nice. We are listening, good stuff. In the first few chapters of Genesis, we don't just read a creation account. We don't just read a creation account. It's really easy to just read it that way. But it is an account of God who in himself is complete and lacking nothing, eternally happy and blessed, and how he created humanity that they would be able to enjoy his completeness. This idea that God is complete without us is really hard to get our heads around. Because so much of our thinking and I would say almost like the orientation of teaching that we receive is that God, because he is pursuing us and because he takes great delight in us and because he is drawing people back to being in relationship and community with him, we can think that without us, he's lacking. But he's not. Because before we were, before this world was, he was. I am, he says. God is complete in himself. He lacks nothing in himself. He is forever happy and forever blessed. But when God created everything, it was with the intent of his creation being able to enjoy his wholeness and completeness, that as he lacks nothing, his community would lack nothing. And in a way, we can almost go, well, that sounds a little bit egotistical of God. You know? Well, I've got everything, and so, you know, I want people to enjoy me. But try to think about it this way. This is something that I've been thinking through. If somebody, like a human, was so wealthy that they were unable to be bankrupt or go bankrupt, that they had everything that they desired, that they lacked nothing, that in themselves they were completely abundant, that they were in a way almost self-sustaining, which is kind of like hard to get to imagining that wealth, where there was not one thing that they could do where they would lose more money than they would earn. Does that kind of make sense? Throwing the iPad. Clearly I've got a lot of money. It's a bit of a hard thing to get our head around. But if there was such a person, would you not think, man, we would struggle if they were not sharing their abundance. If they could never go poor, if they could never lack anything, we would really struggle with them if they kept it to themselves. Now, God is good, and he knows how to give good things. And it's the exact same with him. He is completely abundant in himself. He lacks nothing. And his desire for his creation, for you and for me, is that we would come, that we would know wholeness in him. Because he is totally abundant, we can enjoy his abundance. Because he lacks nothing, we don't have to either. And then after this account of creation, or God creating everything so that it could enjoy him, we read this massive statement in chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So we see this forming of community and relationship happening from the beginning. Not as an afterthought either. God's plan for you is that you would be in community. God's plan for you is that you would be in community. But then God's community was abruptly disrupted and disbanded when humanity chose to disobey and turn from him. And from that point in Scripture, we read one, just one, long account of God, who was still complete and happy and blessed in himself, calling people back into him. Not just to him, but calling people back into him. We are in Christ Jesus. This is a beautiful picture. And as you start to unpack it, it just gets bigger and better and more powerful and life-altering and transformative. Not only does God call people back to him, he is calling people back into him, that we would experience his completeness. Now, I want to talk about something that over this last year has become quite apparent to me. And it's something to do with Western culture. Western culture, or within Western culture, we have a very individualistic approach to faith. When it comes to matters of faith or thought, it is often, our thought is often that the purpose of Jesus going to the cross was all about saving and redeeming us from our sin. But it wasn't. Sin was the obstacle. Sin was a very real problem that needed to be dealt with. But it wasn't the intention. We go back to the intention, the first plan, the purpose, why creation was made. And that is what God is calling us back into. It wasn't to save us from our sins. It was that our sins were keeping us from experiencing God's completeness and abundance. Sin was the problem that needed to be dealt with. To accomplish humanity, being able to once again and to be in whole community with the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who in himself is complete and whole and happy and blessed, and that we would get to be a part of that in him with one another. The church, God's community, you and I, not this place, not this building, the people, God's community, wasn't a byproduct of the cross. It was the intended outcome. God is bringing back into himself what was taken from him. His desire is that creation would experience, like it was intended, completeness in the Creator. God has always been about drawing people back into community with himself and with each other. Before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed for you and for I. Jesus prayed for you and for I. That prayer is recorded in John 17. And this prayer is so important to take note of because it shows us the desire God has for you, for I, and his community. I think, yep, it's up on screen. And so we're reading from John 17, verse 20 this morning, where it says, my prayer is not for them alone. So bit of context. Chapter 17 in John, first Jesus prays for himself to the Father. Then he prays for his disciples to the Father. And then he prays for all of those that would come to know him. So if you know him this morning, this prayer is for you. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete. Talking about completeness this morning. Complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me. And get this, we're back at love. And have loved them, even as you have loved me. Do you get that you are loved with the same level of love that God the Father loves God the Son with this morning? That is massive. And again, we end back at love. You see, God's plan for you is that you would be in community. And God's prayer for you is that you would place yourself and partake in that community. His plan for you was community. His prayer for you is that you would place yourself into that community. We read that right here in John 17. And there are three points that I want to draw from John 17 this morning. And the first one is this. Community is important. Community is important. If Jesus, the Son of God, and being God himself, prayed that we would be one and united as he and the Father are, then it's got to be important. If the prayer before Jesus went to the cross was that we would be united and one, then community is important to the heart of God. The second point is this. Community is not easy. If Jesus prayed this for you, then clearly it's not going to be easy. If the creator and sustainer of all things, in which all things have their being and hold together, prayed that we would be in community, I think we need to pick up on the fact that it's not going to be easy. There will be hardships and struggles. It will be messy and confusing. There will be both hurt from those outside and from within. But for this community work, we have to understand that it is God's community. This is his church, and we need his empowerment. For this community to be as beautiful as it could be, we need the Spirit of God to empower us for that. We need his power. Can I get an amen to that? I'm so thankful that it's not about me, that it's not about something that I need to conjure up, but that it's something that the Spirit of God longs to do in us, to draw us into unity, to make us one in Christ Jesus for his glory. Amen. His promise is to build his community, the church. But will we as individuals and as a collective here this morning allow him to do that? The third point that I want to make this morning is that the community needs you. The community needs you. Community does not just happen. It doesn't. For it to exist, we need to partake and be a part of it. Jesus prayed that we would be one and united. For that to work, we need to come together as one. And I'm not saying that it necessarily has to look like this. I'm not talking about the model of coming together. I'm talking about the importance of coming together. It is really clear in Hebrews where it says, do not forsake meeting with one another. Don't forsake it. Because, not because like you're less of a person, but because you will miss out and the community will miss out. CBC is better off for having you a part of it. You belong here. Even if you're a visitor this morning, you belong here in God's community. You belong here. What you have to bring is unique. It is God-given. You belong here. This community is better off because you are a part of it. You belong here. Lord, I just pray right now that you would enable and empower that truth to sink into our hearts. Lord, it is just like we hear so many voices that would tell us that we don't have a place, that we don't belong, that nobody loves us. Lord, but we pray that you would replace all of those voices with the Spirit of truth. Lord, that we would hear from you that we belong in your community, that you have welcomed us. Thank you, Jesus. But God's community, his church, is not something that we go to. It is who we are and what we participate in. It is who we are and what we participate in. Christ gave his life to establish, to re-establish his community, and he called it the church. God gave his life to set this up. Again, not talking about model. I'm talking about the community. He gave his life. We rob ourselves when we decide to not be a part of community, to be a part of his community. We are literally robbing ourselves and we are robbing the community of God's contribution that he wants to make through you. Christ gave his life to establish the church, of which he is the head and we are the body. And every requirement needed for you and I to be welcomed into God's community was accomplished on the cross. Entry is free. It was costly, but it is free. Praise Jesus. But this morning, I'm going to be honest. Because as I was preparing, and I felt like over the last couple of months, God has been placing like this on my heart. And then I got the opportunity to speak about God's community. And I was just like, what? God, could it be that you're setting me up for a time like this? That as you teach me, you want to teach us? But I'm going to be honest, that this has been a challenge to me. And I'm going to be honest, I have a challenge for some of you here this morning because I feel like God has a word for you. He wants to speak to you because there are people here this morning who are frustrated. With church, with God's community. And you might be sitting here this morning, ready to tap out, to throw in the towel. But can I speak into that? Because I feel like God, as he has pressed this on my heart, is saying that there are people here this morning that need to hear this. The church will not be what it could be without you. And I don't know who it is that needs to hear that this morning. But the church, God's community, will not be what it could be without you. You have something. Not only are you a greatly loved son or daughter of God, but he has placed something in you that he wants to bless his church, his people with. Do not walk away. God gave his life to set this thing up. Do not walk away. We do not get to have a problem with God's church, with his plan and design. We do not get to have a problem with it. It doesn't mean that there aren't problems with it, because I'm a part of it. You're a part of it. But his plan and design is good. And God's community looks like us firstly being in him. In him. And we get to share that. I get to share that with you this morning. We get to share that with this world who so greatly longs for wholeness. This world longs for wholeness, for hope. And we're a part of it. The church of God, his community, is the hope of this world. Because the Spirit of God, who raised Christ from the dead, is in you. This morning, it's been a while since, it's been a while as a community since we've had communion. That we've taken communion together. And we don't try to plan it that way, but it's something that we have missed. It is something that I have missed as a person. Like, I've missed having communion. And I think that communion is made all the more beautiful and powerful in the context of community. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 to 17, it says this: is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We, us this morning, who are many, are one body. For we all share the one loaf. And his name is Jesus. Community literally is made up from two words: common, unity. Jesus is at the center of this. And outside of that, man, there is no hope. We need Jesus. We really need Jesus. And he is not distant or disengaged. He is so longing to wrap us up in his arms, into who he is: Father, Son, and Spirit, complete, lacking nothing, totally whole. And he says, come, You're in me. You lack nothing. I am forever abundant. Take, eat, drink, enjoy. And so I want us to take communion together. And by together, I mean together. To grab people around you. Those who you are sitting with. If you don't know them, introduce yourself quickly. Well, we've already done that earlier this morning. Oh, snap. But we're going to have communion together. And what I want us to do as a community is to thank God that we are in Christ. That He has done everything for us to be welcomed in. That it is free, costly, but free. And to thank God for the people that you are taking communion with, because they are the church, just as you are. Just as you are. That group can be as big or as small as you want. Again, it's not about the model. It's about the community and what God, through His Son, Christ Jesus, has done for us. And as we gather, we seek Him, His face, His power, His Spirit. Father, Son, and Spirit, triune God. I'm just going to pray now and thank God for communion. And then just come up. We've got communion either side. And we're just going to have open space. Enjoy. Man, laugh if you want to laugh. Because community should be full of laughter. Cry if you need to cry. Because the community should be able to come around you. Whatever it is, let it be. Because Jesus is with us. Triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you for what you have accomplished on our behalf. That we right now, as your people, are in your presence, and your presence is in us. Lord, we thank you for the cross. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the symbol of bread and grape juice. Symbols of what you have done. Your body broken and your blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you. God, you are eternal. And so we ask for more of your presence. That God, you would meet with us and eat with us as we join you at your table. Lord, we love you. Have your way. Spirit move. Thank you.